The Bible reading is from Psalm 139, which is a beautiful psalm, and I'm going to read the whole psalm, so it might be here for a little while. Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know where I sit down and when I rise up. My entire life, everything I do, you understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, still unspoken, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you have placed your hand upon me. Such infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high above me. I cannot reach it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the netherworld, the place of the dead, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the night will be the only light around me, even the darkness is not dark to you and conceals nothing from you, but the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and night and light are alike to you. For you form my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and skillfully formed, as if embroidered with many colours in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were appointed to me, when as yet there was not one of them even taking shape. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God! Go away from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate you that hate you, Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect and utmost hatred. They all have become my enemies. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. While I'm here, I want to welcome Navi. Navi's been here before. This is good. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's interesting having a half circle, because it's not always easy to catch everybody's eye or to address everybody. But we'll start. A young man had just passed his driving test, and he said to his father, who was a pastor, "Dad, can I use the family car?" Dad took him to his office and he said, "Study your Bible more, get your grades up, and cut your hair. Then we'll talk about it." Some months later, the young man went back to his father, went to the office again, and said, "Well, Dad, I've put my grades up. I've been studying my Bible." And his father said, "Yes, I've noticed all that." "But you haven't cut your hair." "Well, Dad, I thought about that. Jesus had long hair. Elijah had long hair. Jeremiah had long hair. Moses had long hair." To which the father replied, "Yes, and they walked everywhere." Now shall we pray. Heavenly Father, you are the great I Am. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the living God who knows everything about us. You know what makes us laugh. You know what causes us to weep. But you are there in every situation. And I want to thank you for that. So, Lord, as we look at this psalm today, open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our heart that it may be able to respond fully to your word and the move of your Holy Spirit. Have your own way in all our lives, Lord, and be glorified. And Jesus, we pause to say, we love you. Help us to love you more. Amen. You'll see here a rather tatty piece of material, and it's got long bits of thread hanging from it, some black, some green, some red. It's like our life. We have threads, as it were, hanging from us. Broken dreams. Times we have been left alone, as we feel. Parts of our life that feel shattered or bruised or broken. Yet each of those thread the Lord uses. If you are faithful to the Lord, Psalm 139 will encourage you. If you're trying to hide from the Lord, this psalm will make you realize you are actually fighting a losing battle. I'm a person who asks lots of questions. So be prepared. You don't have to answer them to me, but I'm asking you answer them to yourself and before the Lord. What's your view of God? Is he the almighty living God? Or is he the God, small g, that you trot out on a Sunday or at a prayer meeting? For me, he is the author and perfecter of my faith. I know that he is my strength. He is my wisdom, because I don't have much of my own. He is the air that I breathe. And everything I do, I want to reflect him. I want to be a mirror for our living God. What you think about God and our relationship to him determines what we think about everything else that makes up our busy world. What we think about other people, the universe, God's word, God's will, sin, faith, obedience. Wrong ideas about God will ultimately lead to wrong ideas about who we are and what we should do. And it can lead to a wrong life, the wrong path and the wrong theology. The right knowledge of God is essential to fulfill life in this world. All of you, every single one, is created in the image of God, and he makes no junk. David, though, thought of God and contemplated this psalm in a very stressful time in his life. The concordances state that this is where he lay under the reproach and accusation of men who laid false things against him, things that he was not conscious of either doing or the time that they were supposedly done. This psalm was written when he was hiding from the persecution of King Saul, and David appeals to the heart of God in the time of his trouble. He has delivered it to the master of music later on when he became king. And according to the Cyrillic title of the psalm, the occasion was when Shimei, the son of Gera, reproaching and cursing him, a bloody man. And you'll find that in 2 Samuel 16:5. When David was approaching, and there was a man coming out from the same clan as the house of Saul, and his name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He kept cursing him and calling out to him. Our words are important. They either have life on them or death. So I would suggest to all of us that we be very clear and very thoughtful in the words that we use. The omnipotence of God reaches to all persons and all things. But the psalmist, David, only takes notice of that which is respecting himself. He knows you personally and intimately. So please don't try and fool him. Be always open and honest with God. He already knows what you're thinking and feeling, so rest in him. In 1 John 4:18 we read, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and so one who fears is not yet perfected in love." One of the tasks I'm involved in is mentoring. I often ask people to be real and raw with God, and it's amazing the changes that that actually brings to their lives. He isn't waiting behind some door with a big stick ready to bash you one if things go wrong. He isn't there like my father was, ready at every point to make sure you suffered for whatever it was he thought you had done. God's eye is upon you, and you have nothing to fear from him. In Psalm 139, 1 through 6, you read where he scrutinizes your path. You're lying down, you're getting up. And before there is even a word on your tongue, behold, the Lord knows it all. "You have enclosed me behind and before," David says. "You have placed your hand upon me. Such infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high above me. I cannot reach. Yet God is there." Question: has there been a time in your life that you have tried to hide from God? My own story is not only trying to hide from God, but expecting him to be like my father and belt the living daylights out of me. What a shock it was when I found that God was not like that. He was a loving father and is a loving father and will always continue to be a loving father. God knows all men in general. Whatever belongs to them, he knows his own people in a special manner. And he knows their particular person. He knows everything about us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Maybe you don't have any ugly, but I certainly do. The Lord never loses his elect. He comes to men and women and reaches out his arms and says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." The finite, that's us, can never search the depths of the infinite. Verses 7 through to 12 talk about his right hand takes hold of me. Even in the darkness, it's not darkness to him, and it conceals nothing from him. But the night shines as bright as the day, and darkness and light are alike to him. It's an enormous comfort to know that God is with you, that he cares for you, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, and whatever is happening. Another question. Do you know in your knower that you know that he who hung the stars in the sky holds you, loves you, and encourages you every step of the way? In a particular time in my life, as I was being rushed to intensive care simply because I couldn't breathe, the funny thing was, as I was thrown on the gurney, because that's really what happened, I was paralysed and my arm was back here. And as we were rushing down corridors, I felt an incredible warmth in my hand. And as I looked up, I saw Jesus, not in the form of a man, but in the form of an orb of light. And he was with me the entire time, even to the point where one of the nurses asked who'd been sitting on the bed. I didn't really tell her, but it was interesting. He wants my unreserved love, my unqualified devotion, my undaunted trust, and my unenlightened analysis of his ways. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your life be free from the love of money, but be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never forsake nor leave you." Sinners try to hide from God, but believers hide in God. There's a big difference. From verse 13, he says, "You have formed my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret, and intricately and skillfully formed, as if embroidered with many colours, in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were appointed to me, when as yet not one of them had even taken shape." Me personally, I find this psalm great encouraging. It encourages me when doctors tell you sad news. It encourages me when I hear from the home where my husband is because of severe dementia. It encourages me when I hear of turmoil and tragedy in our world. God does order the length of our days. For that, we can be very thankful. Another question. What have you buried in your pain and your difficulties and squashed them down, yet you have not hidden them in Jesus or lay them at the foot of his cross? There are times in our lives when we try to bury painful situations when we should be giving them to our Lord. I don't know about you, but I've got quite a list that I had to resurrect from the burial plot I'd put them in and lay them before the Lord to receive a freedom from him. He knows what you are. After all, he made you. And he planned the potential and ordered your days. This is not some kind of fatalism or that will paralyze you. It is a wise plan of a loving father who knows what is best for you. Accept who you are as his gift to you, and then wisely give it back to him as your gift to him. You are unique, and God made you that way. He didn't take a cookie cutter and go squooch, 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 and cut you all out the same size and way, for which I'm very thankful. Another question. Do you know who you are? Do you really know? Are you becoming by experience what you are by his grace? If sometimes takes a while for the truth of his amazing love for us to actually sink in. Only one person can step into a life and give it happiness even when health fails, give it peace when possessions fade, and give security when safety savings fly away. You can have it all. Even on this wire called Jesus Christ, the wire of connection will never snap, not in this lifetime and not in eternity. Verse 17, "How precious also are your thoughts of me, If I count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. David pondered the thoughts of God and cultivated the presence of God in his life. And the word tells us to meditate on these things. You'll find that in Philippians 4:8. Whatever is good, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough worries of its own. Take the words to heart. There were many times in David's life when he was misguided and gossiped against. He challenged those who hated God or who spoke wickedly against them. In Psalm 97, verse 10, "You who love the Lord, hate evil. He protects the soul of the faithful and rescues them from the hand of the wicked." And don't love the things of the world. So easy to get caught by them. Another question. Is your goal and your desires, are they godly or are they full of the flesh? Personally, I seek to answer this question so that I might stay close to him. And so I ask my questions frequently and ask him frequently. He knows your desires. In verse 23 and 24, David writes, "Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is anything wicked or hurtful ways within me, and lead me to an everlasting way." None of us know our own heart or the depths that we might go to. So take heed of the word and allow the Lord to test you and to strengthen you and to grow you. Another question. If Jesus was standing before you at this very moment, what would he say about your heart? Let God search you and deal with the things that make you anxious. Let him lead you. He knows where you ought to go and how you are to get there. You're not alone, and he will guide you when you choose to listen to him. James states, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Stay close to our loving Heavenly Father and lean on him, regardless of your situation. And I keep reminding myself, regardless of the pain levels. For I discovered on Friday I have a complete rupture of the spinatus tendon in my shoulder, causing great pain. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we are blessed to know that you not only formed us in our mother's womb, but you know the path ahead. You've been on the path behind. You stand with each of us. You sing over us in the night watches, and you encourage us every step of the way. So help us to have ears to hear that encouragement and to have hearts that are open to your word. Lord, be glorified in all of us. And Jesus, we pause to say, we love you. Help us to love you more. Amen.